No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tame,
tame it to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me, along with Captain Keith this week. We are your crew for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. Ed not with us this week because he was here last week and he's had enough of me. So Keith has decided to fill in as our flight instructor for the week. And Keith, are you ready? Are you strapped in?
Yeah, I am ready to roll.
Okay. Well, we got we brought in some additional reinforcements to help us out today. From General Aviation News, we have Ben Sclair. I didn't even say it right again, did I, Ben?
No, you got that one perfectly right.
I did,
right.
Sclair. I got it right. Okay.
Yeah. You know,
he said people call him Sinclair because of the way he spells his name and stuff, adds the letters like I do. It's
right.
Like the reverse of dyslexia, but whatever. But we got it right. Ben Sclair from General Aviation News has been around for, I don't know, how many years, Ben? Years, right?
Decades?
Yeah.
67 years, something like that.
Wow. Now, and I've met Ben a couple times at some of the air shows. I think it was Sun and Fun. We met at the Tater Bake. It's always a big networking opportunity and a opportunity to load up on baked potatoes and talk about flying. So it's a fun event at Sun and Fun.
Yep.
And I was talking to Ben. I was like, hey, we're going to bring you on the show and bring you into our little crazy world here at Just Plane Radio. I'm sure you have some unique insight for covering this this industry. But Ben obviously covers all this stuff. But I want to talk a few things about, not just what you guys cover, but you personally, as far as your aviation background and some of the stuff you do, Ben. Because you're a pilot, right?
I am a pilot, yeah.
So what is your background in that regard?
Well, I got my first ride when I was 2 weeks old by my father. We moved up from Oklahoma, where I was born, to Washington State, moved on to a residential air park. So I grew up with our airplanes in a hangar and our cars parked outside, which is the proper priority, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And so I grew up around airplanes my whole life. Started flying ultralights at 13, soloed on my 16th, got my private just after I turned 17. Went to the University of North Dakota to go be an airline pilot. Decided I didn't want to be an airline pilot. Got into the family aviation news business.
Oh, okay. So you decided you didn't want to be an airline pilot. Why? What you mean for one of the commercial carriers? You didn't want to go that route?
Yeah, I just decided there was a lot of competition for not a lot of slots to get airplanes at the school.
Yeah.
And kind of a foreshadowing of what the airline industry is, airline will post a couple hundred openings and there will be thousands upon thousands of applicants. And
not anymore.
Right. Well, this was
now
back
there,
in
now
the,
there's now there's
the
thousands
90s, so.
Thousands of openings right now and only a couple pilots.
right. Well, had this happened when I was 18.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that would have been different, but that wasn't the case back then.
If this newspaper thing ever falls through, you have something to fall back on, I guess.
There you go. Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know. I think we're in for some more challenges right now. You know, last week we were talking on the show about how the FAA has helped facilitate this new task force to make sure they weed out the crazy pilots. You've heard about this stuff. You guys have been covering this, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the commercial end. We're mostly general aviation.
Yeah, well, we are too, but as the commercial pilots go, I think this could come back to bite us in the butt. That's what I was talking about last week. I think there could be, and I have no proof, but maybe you do, but I think this could potentially have an effect on us getting this third-class medical thing approved. They're going to slow down the process even more because now they want to find out if we're crazy on top of the fact of whether or not we're physically fit to fly. What do you think of that thought there, Ben? Is that crazy talk or what?
Well, I think there's merit to the thought. I don't think it's completely out of line. The big difference, and it's I think it's pretty consistent over the years. The FAA has a lot less problem with me as a pilot if I'm only putting myself at risk.
Yeah.
If I bring my family or friends into the game, there's a little bit more hesitancy on the FAA's part, but anytime there's commerce attached to it, that's where they really throw down the gauntlet and say, you've got a really high bar to cross.
Hmm.
You know, it's a lot less. So we still have tremendous freedoms of aviation in this country. And, you know, we're just trying to make it a little bit better. So I don't know if that's gonna derail it or delay it. You know, this is Congress pushing it mostly. So,
I
got to say that I'm totally against it. Because if you look at it, why they're doing this, it's simply because of what's been happening overseas. We don't have any incidents here in the U.S. that this has caused any issues. And, you know, why do we need the government coming in again and making things more difficult? They just did that when they raised the ATP standard. You know, everybody has to be an ATP to fly for the airlines. Well, now the airlines are having a very difficult time getting pilots.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that's the case, it's going to slow things down even worse.
Yeah. Well,
right. So Keith, you're saying you're adamantly opposed to FAA intrusion on mental health, not on third class medical.
Correct.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure I understood you. Okay.
Yeah, because you know when you go for your medical as a captain for the airlines, you have to go for a medical every 6 months if you're over 40 years of age, and they've got full access to your medical records. And so if you have any kind of a medical history that shows any kind of psychological, you know, thing going on, you're not getting your medical. And you know they're already invading the privacy of the sleep stuff, and people are being forced to pay $5,000 to $8,000 to $10,000 for their sleep studies that insurance doesn't cover just because they want to be a pilot and fly an airplane, and that is for a third class medical. And you know, I just don't think it's the role that the government needs to play.
Well, I'll tell you what. My wife says that I snore and I'm crazy. I think I have no chance whatsoever to become a commercial pilot. Am I right?
Well, I think your wife is correct there, and I would agree with her. but, you know, what's next? Are we going to start doing this now for everybody who drives an automobile?
Right. Yeah.
You know, where does the government draw the line? I guess that's the question you got to ask.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think rephrase that. Where does the public draw the line?
True, because they're the ones who are kind of pushing FAA, I guess. Or what do you mean?
Well, no. I mean, meaning we're the ones that put, you know, Congress in place.
Yep.
To make the rules. When are we going to demand of Congress? Hey, tell the government to knock it off.
Yeah.
Well, I totally agree. I can't agree more, and you're right. I should have rephrased that. When are we as a public going to stand up and say enough is enough?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, welcome to the political edition of Just Plain Radio today.
Right.
Do you guys have this kind of discussion at General Aviation News quite a bit as well, or what?
You know, sadly, more than we'd like to. we really like to, kind of like your radio program, you know, the lifestyle of general aviation.
Yeah.
You know, we like to really focus on the more positive aspects of aviation. However, that said, we do not shy away from some of the controversial things, and the things are of importance to all of us. You know, one of the biggest things we have a hard time with is getting pilots to support the airports that aren't theirs. If a neighboring airport is challenged by a developer or municipal government or whatever,
right?
Is the pilot community stepping up to support that airport? Because it's not your airport doesn't mean it won't be yours next.
Correct.
So stepping up to support our fellow airport owners and pilots is crucial. So, yeah, we dive into that a little more than we'd like to, but that's because there's challenges, you know, around every corner.
And, you know, the thing about it is you got to stay informed. And, you know, organizations and publications like General Aviation News are a great source to go to and stay in the know so you can protect what you love, and that is flying, right? Ben, you back me up on that little testimonial for your
completely unbiased opinion. Absolutely. We keep you informed.
Absolutely. GeneralAviationNews.com. Go there. Get all the information. Make sure you're reading up and staying informed accordingly. And we got more coming up on Just Plane Radio. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Attention pilots, stay connected while off the grid with the Spot Gen 3 satellite GPS messenger. Right now, get a Spot Gen 3 for half price. The life-saving device every pilot needs is 50% off. No matter where you go, the Spot Gen 3 allows you to contact your family, friends, and emergency personnel with just the push of a button. Go to findmespot.com/plane to learn more and get 50% off. Spot Gen 3, 3,500 rescues and counting.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Whoa, kill the motor, dude. Let us see what Squirt does flying solo.
Watch me get ready to fly. Watch me get ready to fly.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals, ftpros.com, their website you can go to and learn how to fly. And have Keith is your flight instructor because he can't work commercially right now because he's crazy. No, he's not crazy. And it's not even a rule yet. You can still fly if you're crazy, but they're just looking into it right now, I guess, is the deal with the FAA. Is that right, Keith?
That's the deal.
Yeah.
That's the deal.
And it's all because of that German pilot who flew into the mountain. And I can understand, especially the general public being freaked out by this. But the knee-jerk reaction, we got to make a study. We got to have a panel. We got to come up with recommendations on how to make sure this doesn't happen again. And how about just screening your employees as you normally would? It's the jury's out on whether or not that should have been caught anyway. From some of the stuff that I've seen reported on the mainstream media. Is that what you've seen too, Keith, or what?
Well yeah. And, you know, most of the airlines currently do psychological testing. You know, they do a profile test, if you will, in the interview process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're interviewed, you come in, then you do this whole list of tests, and they ask you the same question seven different ways to see if you actually killed your brother or whatever, you know, and find out if you're psychologically stable to begin with, and now they want to put something else in because that's not good enough anymore.
Yeah. When they asked me, I said, I don't have a brother. Or did I?
Yeah. So it just, where does it end? Mm-hmm. And, you know, are they going to go to automobiles next? Because thousands more people die every year via car accidents than they do in an airplane. So you were just trying to get me going again today, weren't
you? Yeah. Well, you know, we talked about this last week quite a bit. Me and Ed did. And, you know, but you have a little bit more commercial flying experience than Ed does as far as working for an airline. So I think you're a little closer to it and maybe, hold it a little closer to your heart in that regard. Am I right?
Well, I do. You know, I see the way that Congress messed things up for the airlines after the Buffalo crash, where they said everybody has to have an ATP, the Airline Transport Pilot Certificate, when they come work for the airlines. And that has just really drastically lowered the amount of pilots that are available to come in and has not helped the industry in any way, shape, or form. Now what we've done is we've taken eager, younger pilots that have come through a lot of great schools like Embry-Riddle or University of North Dakota and on and on and on, mm-hmm. That have had very stringent training, and you give them about 700 or 800 hours to build bad habits before they get to the airlines. And then they come to the airlines and they struggle to try and get in. Whereas, you know, man, in my day, I flew with a lot of people that had, 300, 400, 500 hours, and they were great pilots. They're eager to learn, and they did a very, very nice job. And we're just not seeing the same caliber of people coming through. And now we're going to try and do something like this again. The public's just got to stand up to the government and say, look, first of all, this hasn't happened in the U.S. Second of all, we're ready testing. Third, back off. Let the airlines do their own thing, and the government's got to start backing out of some things.
You would think they wouldn't have the money to pursue such endeavors, but I don't know. And whenever
they don't,
exactly, but they managed to find a way to spend the money anyway. And,
well, yeah, they're gonna take it away from Social Security again. They're gonna take it away from Medicare. They're gonna do this and that because it's important for the traveling public. You know, I don't get it, and I don't think it's important.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you're talking to junk you public, and you explain to them that we don't need third-class medical certificates or we don't need psychological testing other than what's already out there, already on the book, so to speak, as far as an airline employer employee relationship type of thing. They think, what do you mean? Well, what if some crazy person starts flying a plane? We have to have the safeguards to protect the public.
But they're not going to do that because, you know, every time an airline pilot goes for his medical, every 6 months they go to take a medical from a aviation medical examiner, not just your family practitioner. They have to go to specific doctors. They have access to all of your medical records. And, you know, if you've ever had any kind of psychological happening in the past, they find out about it, and the FAA will hold your medical until that is investigated and say, yes or no, you can't have a medical.
Right.
And so why do we need to have put something else into place?
Well, not just that.
We're already doing this.
Not just that. On the third class medical, and this was my argument last week with Ed, is that, the thing is, we have the data to support the fact that third-class medical certificates have done nothing to improve flying safety in general aviation.
Absolutely.
Because the data is there with all the third-class medical certificates that they've required, and it hasn't made any dent whatsoever in accidents or increase of, like, heart attacks in planes or whatever the case may be, that kind of thing. So, the data is there. The data supports it. It's not necessary, and it's really just a bunch of bureaucracy and another way for a doctor to make a few extra bucks. God bless him for it. The pilot doctor, has to make some money too. I don't slight him for wanting to do that or making a few bucks, but it's a bureaucracy. It really isn't doing anything to protect the public, and it's just extra paperwork pilots have to do, red tape that would keep us from pursuing our love of flying.
Right. And if they're going to do that, they might as well do it for everybody who's going to drive an automobile, because there's a lot more people that are driving automobiles that are in a lot worse shape than people that are flying airplanes.
They are crazy. Just drive out on any road. They are crazy.
Absolutely. I mean, if you look, you know, the general population of the pilots, it's kind of a different class of people, if you will. They're people that typically take care of themselves.
Well, we're above everyone else, and I mean that literally.
Yes. You know, we're flying over above. Yes. But, you know, typically they're very caring, and we've talked about this many, many times on our show. You know, for instance, you know, you go to the EAA different events that they have, like Lakeland Sun and Fun. And we talked about how great it is to go camping with these people, you know, you've never met before in your life, and they become instant friends. You know, you can leave stuff, sit out there at your airplane and stuff, and you don't have to worry about that, because it's kind of a different group of people.
Mm-hmm.
They care about themselves, and they care about others. It's a self-policing business, you know, population, if you will, of aviators. And it works really well. If it's not broke, don't fix it.
True. I'm with you. Yeah, I mean, there's a sense of responsibility, I think, that all pilots share when they take on this endeavor and this adventure. It's just part of the mindset, I think, you take when you go in to learning to fly. You think?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and I love it when we have a young teenager who comes in and wants to learn to fly, because they're willing to take on that responsibility. And that's one of the things we talked to them about. It's great that they're willing to do that.
What about me?
Like I said, teenagers.
Okay.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. Did you see Harrison Ford's flying again? He's had his first flight since his accident. It was in a helicopter, I read. We have a post up on the Just Plain Radio Facebook page, linking to Entertainment Tonight, where he's talking about it. But our aviation ambassador is back in the pilot seat. That's a good thing. Wouldn't you agree,
that's
Keith?
That's an awesome thing, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we got that going for us. So there's some positive news.
Did you call him and talk to him about this? Because I know you guys are tight.
Well, yeah, but he has me on call block. You know, that happened years ago, and there's still that whole restraining order issue thing. So we'll just leave that alone for now. But, you know, let's talk about some other stuff that I saw on the news this week. And actually, I got to give props out to Melissa and Tom Haynes from AOPA Live. I saw them doing a thing on their show last week about how there's some discussion, or there always has been some discussion, that general aviation pilots should be required to go through some aerobatic training, or like, you know, aerobatic. What is it? Aerobatic or acrobatic type flying? What is it? Both? Flying upside down.
Aerobatic.
What's acrobatic flying? Is there such a thing, or is that like a trapeze type of deal? Yeah.
A gymnasium.
It's in a gymnasium, and there's like ropes and things.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we'll stick with aerobatic. So, but they were talking about basically that all pilots should be familiar with what it feels like to actually turn upside down and how to correct it.
Well, Greg, in past, all pilots had to go through this kind of training.
Yeah.
In some form. For instance, spin training. And then they took it out, and only flight instructors had to go through spin training, and they still do today. And spins is the worst case scenario. You get yourself into a spin. How do you get the airplane out of it? How do you recover from it? So flight instructors have to do it. However, they don't really go through a real heavy-duty training in that process. They go out, they do a couple spins with an instructor, and that's it. And it is a great idea for people to go out and learn how to really fly the airplane, how to get it back into a normal attitude.
I like it just because it'd be cool to spin or fly upside down, but maybe that's just me.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Everybody on every plane should just constantly be going, oh my God! Wow! Yes! You're sitting in a chair in the sky.
Yes.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. All right, so whether it spins or flying upside down, I'm not sure what, well, I mean, spins are more advantageous to be able to handle than flying upside down, I guess. Just flying upside down is just, what, a cool maneuver, maybe? Or what do you think?
Well, it can be for some people.
Yeah.
And for others, you know, if you end up getting yourself into a situation where you are upside down, well, then it would behoove you to know how to get back right side up. Mm-hmm. How does that happen? The way it happens most of the time is you have a VFR pilot, visual flight rule pilot, who flies into weather conditions that he is not trained to fly in, namely instrument conditions. JFK was one of these pilots who took off when he shouldn't have flown. He didn't have the knowledge, the skills to fly into this particular type of weather. He couldn't maintain the horizon and ended up getting himself into ultimately a spin and didn't know how to read the instruments to be able to recover.
Mm.
And so, you know, three people died in that particular instance.
Right.
And, you know, so.
Well, what is is there a simple instruction like, you know, right rudder, left aileron type of thing that you would take in a spin? What do you do? I mean, we learn that stall. I mean, we know what we're supposed to do. Don't ask me. But
And we teach you as you go into the stall.
Yeah.
We teach you why you need to keep it coordinated, because otherwise you can enter into a spin.
Right.
And so what you want to do is you want to reduce the power, because you don't want the airplane to be accelerating down to the ground. And then you have to determine the rotation of your spin. And then you have to use opposite rudder to stop that rotation. And some airplanes, it's going to stop, you know, fairly quick. Some airplanes, you know, it's going to take a little bit more. It just depends on the stability and the aerodynamic qualities of that particular aircraft.
Right.
And then once you get it stopped, you can level the wings and you can begin to slowly bring that nose back up to the horizon. You got to do it slowly, though, because you don't want to increase the G-forces too much and overstress the airplane.
Okay.
So
what about, you know, spinning?
We do some basic stuff.
Could you spin and then end up upside down like Denzel Washington in that Flight movie? What do you think?
Well, you could, but it would take more than just going into a spin to do it.
Okay.
You know, and that's what this aerobatic training would teach you. But, you know, that's Hollywood. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody's going to fly an airplane upside down and then flip it upside right just for the landing. That's just Hollywood.
I understand that, but I'm wondering if you get in a spin and you were able to stop the spin, but you stopped it upside down, I mean, could that happen or no?
Typically, in like a 172, no, that's not going to happen. You're just going to end up in a nose down attitude, and the airplane is rotating, and so you're not going to be on your back doing this.
Got it.
So, but the aerobatic flying, it teaches you to read the instrumentation and what's happening on the instruments, because you're going to lose visual references most of the time, and you have to be able to know what your instruments are telling you and follow what they say in order for you to recover from unusual attitude. So all pilots, every single pilot goes through unusual attitude recovery. However, the way you get into that unusual attitude is usually the instructor says, okay, put your head down, take your hands and feet off the controls, it's my airplane, and they start putting them into unusual attitudes.
Hmm.
An unusual attitude is anything more than 30 degrees of bank or, you know, an excessive pitch attitude, this and that. Well, some instructors are not real confident themselves, so they may not do some real aggressive aerobatic maneuvers in this particular case.
Right.
Or unusual attitudes. And so they kind of get, you know, lackadaisical about it. You know, this is just kind of a box that we have to check. Well, it's really an important part of learning how to fly so that you know how to recover from these particular maneuvers if you happen to get yourself into one of these situations.
Yeah.
And so, for instance, the Air France flight, the report now says that that airplane was in a stall and they did not realize that that airplane was in a stall. And so if they knew how to read all the instrumentation, these are qualified airline pilots.
Yeah, that is crazy. Isn't there all kinds of alarms going off on a stall? Even in a commercial airliner, there would be, wouldn't there?
Well, yes, there are. But, you know, the way the Airbus is designed, you know, if the captain is looking at his and the yoke that he has, because it's a fly-by-wire thing, you know, instead of a yoke like you're familiar with.
Yeah.
And, you know, he couldn't really tell that the first officer had that yoke pulled all the way backwards and actually was holding the airplane in a stall. And so, so even airline pilots, we do this for all airline pilot training as well. They go into unusual attitudes. And we're doing stalls now from different altitudes, not only low altitude for, you know, the takeoff and, you know, the departure and the landing stalls that you can get into, but also high altitude stalls. Because as you climb up in altitude, the air becomes less dense. And so it takes more to recover from a stall. So you cannot just go ahead and go full power and push the nose down and just a little bit and recover from the stall. For a couple of reasons. Number one, you may not have any excess thrust left anymore at a high altitude, you know, 39, 40,000 feet, you know, 35,000 feet, depending on the airplane that you're flying and the amount of thrust you have. You probably will not have enough power to just power out of the stall. So you're going to have to go to the full power, and then you're going to have to descend, and you may end up having to descend 1,000, maybe 2,000 feet before you're going to build up enough airspeed to get the airflow going back over those wings again. And so that's the kind of training that airline pilots are doing. And it's a new developments that they're coming up with. They're going to put all new changes into the simulators that the airlines are going to use and everything to be able to do more aggressive, unusual attitudes and stall recoveries and things like that for airline pilots. And so it only stands to reason that they should learn this in their primary training.
Yeah.
First things you learn is what you remember most. And so, you know, I'm a fan of it. You know, I think everybody should go through some aerobatic training. Does it have to be as much as what they do in the military? No, but people really need to really understand the aerodynamics of an airplane and how to recover from an attitude that you didn't intend to put that airplane into.
And that's what you're talking about, to having the instructor take it into a 30-degree bank or more, something like that at least.
Right, with a nose high or a nose low attitude, you know, something that you're not familiar with, something that doesn't necessarily feel comfortable. And, you know, have you, you know, not looking at that because, you know, maybe you were looking down at the at your lap checking your next checkpoint that's on your cross country.
Right.
When something happened and you know, you ended up in this unusual attitude. How do you look up and instantaneously recognize that you're in this unusual attitude and need to correct for it? Or you end up getting too close behind an airplane on an approach and you end up in some wake turbulence and you end up with a, you know, 45, 50-degree bank. You know, things like that that can happen unexpectedly. You know, we should always expect it if we're in turbulence. I was rolled almost upside down by another 152 when I was in a 152.
Really? Yeah, you got and, caught in wake turbulence of a 152?
In a 152, yes. And, you know, what happened was I was on approach. I was at about 500 feet. And another airplane being flown by somebody from another country came in. They were lost, and they flew right over the top of us at a very close range, and yes, that wake turbulence off of that 152, since they were so close, I rolled into about a 70-degree bank turn.
Wow.
With a nose low attitude of about 10 degrees.
So what did you do after you changed your shorts?
Well,
I was okay.
I didn't change them. I just flew on to the next lesson. You know? I mean, who cares?
Let's now, that smell.
You know, I had been listening to what's going on the radio. I knew that this guy was lost. I did not know that he was right behind me. And, of course, you know, typically you're not looking behind you in an airplane. You know, he flew right over the top of us. And now my applicant that was in the airplane with me was a little bit shaken up. You know, and I was, in all honesty, I was shaken up a little bit as well. That's a little bit closer than I ever want to get to an airplane when I'm in another airplane.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Now, see, if I were you, I would have used it as an advantage. It was a teaching moment, and you'd look at the other guy after things settle down, you have control, and you go, I meant to do that.
Yeah, I didn't mean to do that, though. And I'm sure the other guy didn't mean to do it either. You know, it's one of those things.
They just showed up right there in my shorts. I'm sorry. What can I say?
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
With Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
This test today, it's important.
I got it. I'm going to make you look good up there. Don't worry, okay? Now let's get these pants off and fly some planes.
I'm learning to fly around the clouds.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Keith. Now, a lot of crazy stuff has been happening in the news. You know, that's usually what the mainstream media picks up. And the story with the drunk pilot. You know, it's funny. I do Just Plain Radio. We have the World of Boating, and we have Scuba Radio, too. We had two crazy stories, one for aviators and one for scuba divers, of some drunk guys that are making us look bad. In the diving world, we had a guy show up at a McDonald's in Traverse City, Michigan, outfitted in full scuba gear. Keith, I don't know if you heard about that one, but that was not me. That was not me. And then the second story was this guy in it looked like a 172 type plane in Florida that was drunk and wasn't paying attention and drove off the runway after creating quite a havoc. And I had to put out on Facebook, that wasn't me either. So I don't know why people always come to me the first thing. Hey, he's in Florida. He's in a plane. It must be him. He's in scuba gear. He's drunk. It must be Greg. What is up with this?
Your reputation precedes you, Greg.
I'll tell you what. I don't need other people making me look bad. I do a plenty good job on my own. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I know exactly what you're saying. I've been with you on many trips.
Okay. Thank you. I think. But let's get back to the aviation guy. So this was at some airport in Florida, and he evidently got good and liquored up. And, you know, I don't know if they're what the safeguards are against something like this, because this was a small little airport. You know, it's not like if someone gets to their plane, it isn't like someone's going to be able to stop you from taking off. Am I right here in looking at it from that sense?
That's correct. And you know, you bring up this story and it kind of negates everything I said at the beginning of the show of how, you know, pilots are generally a great group of people.
Well,
and
there's always a bad apple. I mean, look at our crew. We got Keith, Ed, and me.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, you always got that 5% jerk factor, I guess, no matter where you go, right? So, yeah, here's a guy in Melbourne, Florida. He gets in an airplane, and it was a Cessna Skymaster that he was flying in Melbourne, Florida. Well, attempting to fly.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, he had his young son in the airplane with him.
Yeah.
And he never made it off the ground, made it off the taxiway into some kind of a storage shed or something like that, I heard.
Yeah.
I don't know if maybe it was part of the ILS system in there. I don't know. But, you know, here's one of the guys that, you know, made us look bad. And, you know, the interesting thing about this story is that when they called his wife and said, you know, hey, you know, we arrested your husband for a DUF, driving under the, or flying under the, or FU, whatever. Yeah,
you can't say that.
You know, flying under the influence. FUI, flying under the influence, right?
Okay, well.
Or attempting to fly under the influence. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, that doesn't surprise me. He's got a problem, you know?
Yeah, obviously.
And, so, you know, yeah, I mean, he's a doctor, I guess, and
he should know better. But, you know, the thing is, those type of stories, you know, people will go to those type of stories and say, oh, man, we need to do more regulation on these private pilots. And obviously they're not being regulated enough if this kind of craziness can go down. But the fact is, he broke all kinds of laws already. So you don't really need any more laws to you know, stop a situation like this. But I will say there really is nothing, you know, if someone gets in the airport and near their plane, whether ATC gives you clearance to fly your plane or not, there's nothing that would have kept him from taking off if he could have kept it on the runway, I guess. So once he got into the air, what would have happened? Do we know? I mean, what have they called the fighter jets out and you know, shot his butt down or something? Or
no, because you know, there's no way to know that he was intoxicated. If he gets it up in the air, you know, they're going to let him go. And
Hold on. Because they had told him do not move, and he had already broken all kind of runway rules. So I think they knew something was definitely off before he took off. I don't know if they knew he had been drinking. But
they knew something was wrong. But you know, the reason why they started calling him to begin was because his IFR flight plan, his instrument flight rule flight plan, had come and gone. The time for his come and gone. It's got a 2-hour window,
right?
And so they needed him to refile, and he wasn't responding to air traffic control. Mm-hmm. Air traffic control did a very, very good job of trying to stop this guy and everything else, and he just wasn't paying any attention, you know, to what they're doing, just because I'm sure that just because he was inebriated.
Yeah. Well, but what happens in a scenario like that? That's what I'm saying. If he would have taken off, what would have happened to him then? If he decided he's just going to ignore, ATC or whatever, or the tower once he took off, I mean, would they scramble jets after him? I guess they would eventually, wouldn't they?
The only time they would do that is if he ended up going into restricted airspace or into a TFR or something like
that.
So
what would they do? They wouldn't do anything. They would try to get him down out of his plane at all?
Well, they would constantly try and via the radio try and get a hold of him.
Yeah.
And they would ask other people around him, other aircraft that are around him, you know, hey, do you see this guy? What's going on? You know, asking other aviators to help out. And, you know, this happens on a fairly regular basis. You know, if something goes wrong with an airplane, they don't get a hold of them via radio because that's the only way you can stay in contact.
Yeah.
They will ask other people, you know, hey, check this out. You know, check this out. You know, there's a guy, you know, he's at your 1 o'clock position and he's about 5 miles. Do you see anybody out there? You know, so aviators, they police themselves for the most part, and they, you know, try and help out air traffic control. And they try and help out, you know, each other if somebody has a problem. Hmm. And this guy is just one of those guys that, you know, doing something that he shouldn't be doing. But, you know, you said it before, he broke all kinds of rules and laws prior to ever getting to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, he had to drive to the airport. He doesn't live there. Melbourne doesn't have any houses that live right on the airport. So, you know, the guy, he's a problem.
Yeah.
And he will no longer be flying.
Darwinism maybe could come into play here. Who knows? We'll have to leave it at that for this week. Till next time, though, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.